One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Well, I thought I'd share some questions of wisdom by George Carlin. Is it good if a vacuum really sucks? Why is it the third hand on a watch is called the second hand? And if a word is misspelled in the dictionary, how's anyone ever going to know? I sometimes have wondered that a lot. Why are they called stands when they're made for sitting? Think about the football games and baseball games.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Why are they called stands when everybody's supposed to sit? And even if you stand up, they get mad at you. Have you ever noticed that? Why are wise men and wise guys opposite? Why is phonetics not spelled the way it sounds? Lights are flickering. If love is blind, why is lingerie so popular? And Christmas is really weird. What other time of year do we sit in front of a dead tree and eat candy out of our socks? I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and wonder of the universe. Can y'all affirm that with me one more time? I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and the wonder of the universe. One more time. We're causing the lights to flicker. I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and wonder of the universe. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? Yes, God, the infinite oneness extends its love, blessings, and goodness to anyone willing to open their heart and their mind and their awareness to its presence. You are a child of God. You are a child of God, created in the image and likeness of God. And God is the unconditional giver of life and love. In order to receive the fullness of that life and of that love, we have to create a sacred space to feel and know this presence. And then to feel that presence flowing through us. One Christmas, an elder brother decided to share his good fortune with his family by giving them a present of their dreams. His younger brother had yearned for a sports car. So, a sports car it was, and he received. The younger brother was so thrilled. He got a new car and began to drive it around. Just like we always do when we get a new car. What is it? We just drive it, right? A little boy standing on the street corner was so awestruck by this sports car with leather seats, he yelled out, "Wow, what a really cool car." The younger man replied, "Yep, my brother gave it to me for a Christmas present." And the little boy then exclaimed, "Man, someday I'd hope I'm a brother like that." right? What a goal to be a brother like that. Are we a brother like that? A sister like that? A parent like that? A friend like that? Or do you sometimes treat love the way many people treat money? Hoarding what we are in fear of not getting, that we're not getting enough of. If you believe you lack inspiring friends and loved ones, you need to take a closer look at yourself. When we feel needy and empty, we can easily see only what others can offer us, not what we can give to them. When our souls feel impoverished, we cling to ideas, to money, love, whatever comes our way, reluctant to share it because we might lose what we have. We begrudge others unless they give back to us in kind. Thinking, what is this? What is this going to cost me? We penny pinch compliments as if acknowledging another person's success steals our chances. Do we better ourselves by hoarding? Of course not, right? Eventually, we will declare spiritual bankruptcy because our spirit feels empty. But what we really need to get to feel filled up is to give. Giving is what fills us up. In order to receive, we have to give of our spiritual nature and let it flow. You know, the secret of relationships is to give of our heart and our soul. Giving of ourselves creates a vacuum for God to fill the abundance. And you all know that nature abhors a vacuum. We create by sharing of ourselves. Imagine living in a state of absolute spiritual well-being. Can you imagine that? You wake in each morning, anticipating the day's wonder and delight, singing that song that we began at the service. Wouldn't that be amazing? You woke up every day singing that song, looking for the goodness and wonder of life. Wouldn't that be amazing? No? That'd be kind of boring. You wake in each morning anticipating the day's wonder and delight. We are filled to overflowing with the bounty of life and can hardly wait to see what the day has in store for us. The greatness of the day that's going to come. Does this sound too good to be true? Well, it's not. It's not. It's not snot. It's not. What I know through experiences is anyone who develops an intimate consciousness contact with the Infinite One, right? Anyone who develops an intimate conscious contact with the Infinite One gives from the depths of their heart and experiences deep, fulfilling, and enriching lives and relationships. It's really odd. In the depths of our soul, most of us really do want to be generous with our minds, our hearts, and our pocketbooks. We all want to be. But somewhere along the way, we start attaching requirements in our giving. We tally up who gave last and what it was. We withhold our love until the other person gives their share. And relationships that might have flourished wither and fade away. I thought I heard somebody talking out there. And you know, that kind of distracts me, because then I, you know what I do? I start listening to what they were saying. Sometimes it's kind of hard to be in two conversations at one time, isn't it? I learned how to do it in restaurants, but you wouldn't know what to do with that, would you? In the depths of our soul, most of us really want to be generous, right? One day, Winky was feeling a little restricted. Winky is a cartoon character that I picked up the comics and saw a mother speaking to her little boy. Winky, don't forget to say your prayers so that you can get to go to heaven. And Winky looked up at his mother and said, "Well, what do I have to do to get to go to Disneyland?" I guess Winky was feeling a little bit limited by his choices, wasn't he? Right? Maybe sometimes you feel a little bit limited by your choices, and you don't want to go where you think you're headed. Maybe you want to go an entirely different direction. Thumb planting is going to move you into a whole new way of being, where you can experience peace, love, health, and an all sufficiency of every good thing your heart desires. Right? And just what is that, how, just what and how is that going to happen? Right? Ever asked yourself that? Our soul's sense and abundance operates at three different levels. At the first level, sharing of ourself demands compensation, because we are giving to get. We nickel and dime our emotions, never getting an iota of comfort or support for free. There's got to be something in it for us, right? We like people who donate monetarily in order to receive accolades for their generosity. Isn't that the way it normally happens? Jesus cautioned us about acting in such a way, saying, "Beware of practicing goodness before others to be seen, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give of yourself, do not sound the trumpets as the hypocrites in the synagogues do and the people out on the street corners, so that they may be praised. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in that praise. But when you give of yourself, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your good deeds may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you." Giving to get doesn't really work well. It doesn't fulfill us from the inside out. It's not the reward we seek. And we feel tense and bedoggled, begrudging, anticipating reward and believing ourselves cheated if the reward is not forthcoming. In fact, we are cheating ourselves out of the joy of giving freely. and the joy that it brings. The second level of our soul's sense of abundance is giving with strings. We do not so much seek equal measure, but rather selective and judgmental about someone else's behavior. By casting judgments, we are shortchanging our generosity and spirit in which we share of ourselves. You all heard that a good relationship is 50-50? Each person giving an equal share? Perhaps, but the greatest relationships require 100 to 100, right? Equal giving. Otherwise, we begin to think we never want to give more than the other person. Sometimes one partner cannot give their share, and then our energy is drained. It drops correspondingly. You can't stand outside of a wood stove, you know? You can't stand outside of a wood stove and say to that stove, "You give me heat, then I'll give you wood." Nobody really ever warms up that way, do they? No relationship can thrive when every act of giving is predicated by how much the other gave first. In order to receive, we must allow the energy of life simply to flow through us. You know, it's just like a faucet. Can you get any water out of a faucet by looking at it and tell it to flow? No, you got to open the handles for that to flow through, right? And then we experience this wonder. There's this old proverb that says, "Our soul is nourished when we are kind and destroyed when we are cruel." When we offer kindness and giving, even to those we think unworthy, we are in alignment with our true nature. We inherit this nature from God, the essence of our spiritual nature. We are in integrity with our divine nature when we extend love and kindness. And you know what? That feels really good, doesn't it? Yeah. Cahil Gibran wrote, "You say I would give, but only to the deserving. The trees in your orchard say not so. They give so that they shall live, for to withhold, they would perish." Matt, Jason and Craig were best friends. They were all natural athletes who loved to play sports together. So they decided upon entering high school that they would each become the best football players in their schools, and they would help the others to do it. Every afternoon they would scrimmage, run plays, hoot and holler. Whenever one of them made a touchdown, they were inseparable. 2 years later, Craig was diagnosed with malignant brain tumor, right? And he underwent radiation and chemotherapy. He lost all of his hair and his motor skills were impaired. Craig could no longer keep up. His movements were stiff and awkward. Jason became the quarterback of the high school team. Matt became the star running back, and Craig volunteered to be the team's water boy. In their senior year, Jason and Matt were again in competition, this time to see who got to be king of the May Festival. Each boy was nominated to give a speech to the entire school, and the topic was heroes. The high school auditorium was packed full of 1,800 teenagers, and one by one of the 18 individuals to share a talk about their heroes. Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Jesus, and others, right? Well, Jason got up. He wanted so much to be crowned king, but there was something he wanted more than the votes of his classmates. He wanted to honor his real hero. And this was a risky thing to do, because his hero had been the brunt of many jokes. Jokes by people who didn't understand his hero's illness and disability. The teenagers who ridiculed him were all sitting there in the auditorium. So Jason began, "My hero is someone you all know. His name is Craig. He is my hero because I've seen him display awesome courage in the face of overwhelming adversity. I have seen him really afraid, but he faced his fear even though he knew he might die. I've seen him remain strong in the face of cruel comments and put down. He's my hero because he is so strong. He didn't like what happened to his body, but he accepted it. Craig always wanted to be part of the football team. And I think he's the heart of our team. My hope is that someday I might live up to the example of my hero, Craig." And the auditorium was silent. And Jason knew he had sacrificed his opportunity to be crowned king. But he didn't care. And then there was this lone clap that could be heard all the way back of the auditorium. And soon it spread to a thunderous applause. And the student body stood up on its feet. Jesus said, "A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it underneath a basket, but the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in this house. Let your light so shine before others so that they may see your good works that give glory to God." Jesus allowed his light to shine, a light that touched the hearts of all in that auditorium, or I should say Jason shared his gift of wanting to be a better person because of someone else who had shared their true essence with him. In her book, No Less Than Greatness, Mary Man of Mercy tells of an extra special lunch that she had while visiting the Dalai Lama in India. What made this buffet-styled meal so special was that the Tibetan servant would pick up a plate, glaze down into it, and pour out a blessing upon it. And then he'd hand it to the guest standing before him. Bowing, the server would then gently place the plate into that guest's hand. What a generous act of love, that someone would take the effort to honor their guest in such a fashion. As I read Mary's words, I couldn't help to think how often I serve meals. How we serve meals address our children, or how we dress our children, how we greet our co-workers, how we conduct our business reflects our gratitude in our sharing of the light that is within us. Although it requires a shift in our perspective. You know the expression, taking for granted? Anybody ever hear that one? Taking for granted? Sometimes we make assumptions about what's due us. Then we reflect, then we neglect to feel grateful. We take for granted anything from food on the table to the presence of a loved one, and on and on and on and on. Taking for granted means that we assume what someone else does for us is what is due us. We would automatically assume it is our responsibility to enrich lives of others, and as we do, we enrich our own. Right? We would automatically shift. Taking for granted means what we do for someone else is due us. It's all about taking. What if we made that shift to give for granted? Right? Make the shift to give for granted. We would automatically assume it is our responsibility to enrich the lives of others. And making everyday activities special. So that when something as ordinary as serving a meal can become an extraordinary experience. You see, in order to receive the goodness of the universe, we might make that shift from taking to sharing, to give praise and acknowledgement. People feel loved when they are acknowledged, right? Wouldn't you agree? You know, the word acknowledgement contains the words no and Jim. Ask yourself, do I know a Jim in that person? Do I know a Jim in that person? On a daily basis, ask yourself, what am I grateful for today, and who is responsible for it? And of course, you've got to begin by cherishing yourself. To cherish oneself is not always easy in our society, because what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to beat ourselves up because we're miserable sinners, right? No. That time I agree with John, right? No. Right? No. Right? We have to begin by cherishing ourselves, by seeing the gem in us. We're all sacred beings. Even if we don't see ourselves that way, to see the divine light, the creative energy flowing in and through us, and cherish the life and the love that we have been given, allowing it to flow through us. Another way to receive the goodness of the universe might be through sharing a gift of authentic listening. Right? That's right. A gift of giving someone our full attention without giving advice or judgment. At times, it can be the most powerful gift that we have to offer. Many times, in an effort to be helpful, we speak too quickly, saying harsh, insensitive, self-promoting ideas, or playing foolish things in response to anybody sharing something with us. Say foolish things. And later on, we catch ourselves saying, why did I say that? Why did I open my mouth? Why did I talk so much? Now, have you ever heard yourself say, gee, why did I listen so much? Right? So often in our conversations, we get caught in conversing, but we don't listen. Right? Our agenda remains separate and the other person seeks to be heard. But we want to be heard more. Think of listening as a gift to give someone. The gift of our full attention. You know, a number of years ago, there was a study done, and many people around the country were asked from all walks of life, what is the most profound way you feel loved? The number one response was, when somebody is really listening to me. You're a child of God. Right? You're a child of God. Created in the image and likeness of God. So, and God extends its love, its blessings, and grace to all of its children who are willing to open their heart to its presence to share it. In order to receive the fullness of life and love, we have to allow our light to flow out into the world and not close down our water faucets. We have to allow our heart to allow that energy just to flow out into the world. So I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and wonder of the universe. Can y'all say that with me? I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and wonder of the universe. One more time. One more time. I am opening my heart and releasing all that restricts me in order to receive all the goodness and wonder of the universe. And it is happening. I invite our